Joshua. We're going to be in Joshua 23 today, and the message is titled, Next Man Up. And I guess it's really on my heart for you men in here. This is Joshua's message to his leaders. You're the leader. And I want to make sure not only does our whole church hear this message today, but so do our men. You know, next man up phrase came about a few years ago when it became in the sports world. We heard coaches say, hey, next man up. Whoever gets hurt, it's next man up. In fact, one of the coaches, Michigan State, in 2014, Michigan State played Stanford. It was a fourth down, and even before the game, before it was even started, Michigan State had a linebacker by the name of Max Below. And Max Below was a multi-generational linebacker who his whole family played for Michigan State. But Max broke a team rule before the Rose Bowl, one that we don't even know what happened. So their coach, Mark D'Antoni, said, next man up. That's a next man up philosophy. So in comes a guy named Kyler Ellsworth. And Kyler Ellsworth played linebacker for Michigan State. Never played a down until the Rose Bowl. But because he was next man up, he needed to be prepared to go into this game. Well, Michigan State was up by four with a few minutes to go, and it was a stance in the mid, about the 40-yard line. It was fourth and short. And Stanford needed to get the first down to continue the game. It was Stanford's last play. A ball handed up the middle, and here comes Kyler Ellsworth over the line, dives, and stops Stanford from their first down. Well, he was the next man up. That's the philosophy that their coach gave. But I tend to differ. I don't believe the next man up is a philosophy. I think the next man up is a person. And many times in our lives, we think, well, it's just next man up mentality. No, the next man up have a purpose. They have a place. And in this book that we read, we know that Joshua now is having a purpose, now is going to state a purpose for, she's okay. That's the best sound a church can have is a baby. Amen. But one of the things that we're going to focus on is Joshua's charge to his leaders today. They've gone from wanderers to settlers and everything in between. They've been marchers, they've been conquerors, they've been doubters, they've been warriors, and now they're overcomers and they're settling in. And perhaps those need to be the words that you hear as you march through those battles in your life. What would you call yourself? Overcomers, doubters? I think we all have seasons that we have names. But I'll take two more weeks to go over these two chapters, the final words. When we read in 23, it says a long time after that. What we need to understand is, remember last week I said that Joshua was in battle for 7 years. Joshua conquered with his army for 7 years. They were in battle. Now they've settled for 13 years. And now it's 20 years they've lived on the west side of the Jordan. Remember how old Joshua was and I gave a message last week? Well, he's a bit older this week. They have quite the testimony. They have grown to create quite the testimony, quite the identity, and that's really important to grasp as we move through this chapter today for what's to come for these people and how we look to set up for our tomorrows. And what Joshua is telling his leaders, this is how you need to settle up. This is next man up, but it's you. It's not a philosophy. And what it comes down to is each of us knowing our God-given identity. Something that will give you confidence. Something that will give you self-worth. Something that will give you self-image of Jesus Christ. That's the awareness that we must have. And when you settle into what God and who God wants you to be, you end up increasing your faith in Him. And Joshua is reminding them how they got to where they are today. It was the promised land that God had given them. And for us, our promise is the name of Jesus Christ. Amen? Our promise is in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen? Okay. But we may not receive the promises overnight. But many times we want that. We want to see our tomorrow. We want to turn the page. What's going to happen? Well, it took the Israelites quite a long time to get there. So we must rest well and know there's a purpose for the situations that we're in. It may cause us just to dig a little deeper in our faith bucket. So this is where we are in chapter 23. Again, it's Joshua's words to his leaders. We'll read of his words to the leaders today and all those who marched beside him, those men that were in battle with him. And then next week, we'll talk about how Joshua charges his leaders and himself to talk to the people. Many of the verses that, or one of the verses we'll talk about, are above many of your doors today. And for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We'll get to that next week. But if you knew someone that you loved so dearly, someone that had a big impact on your life and was about to give you these famous last words, how intently would you listen? And how many of us want that second chance of that person that means so much to you, that meant so much of you? If I could just hear those words one more time. I think of those words of the people that were in my life. And I'm so grateful that I can carry those. But I need to share those so that we can continue to give instruction to those who come after us. I just wish I would have listened a little more intently sometimes. How about you? What would be your last words to those who you're walking alongside? How would you concentrate on saying those words so intently? You know, some of the famous words that Jesus told his disciples. He had the last words we read in the book of Acts, but some last words were not only on the cross, but when Jesus came back and talked to his disciples, actually said, "Hey, meet me on the mountain." And when the disciples were there and Jesus approached them here in Matthew 28, he mentioned some words to them. And we get to read them all the time. Jesus says, last words for your to the disciples, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything that I have commanded you." And what's the last charge that he tells his people? "Lo, I'm with you always." And in my little brackets in my Bible, it says, "I will remain with you regardless of your circumstance." But back to Joshua and his famous last words to his people. He says, look in verse 3. "And you have seen all the Lord your God has done to all these nations for your sake, for the Lord your God is he who's been fighting for you." You've seen what God has done. You've seen the fight for you. This is his final charge. Remember, it's not about you. Your life is all about God, Joshua says. This brings us to our point number one, how we must submit to authority, capital A, how we submit to full authority. You see, Joshua is reminding his leaders of everything. Joshua is even saying this, that God's done this for your sake, how God fought for them. Remember, we learned how God fought for them back in Exodus 14:14, when the Israelites approached the Red Sea, and they say, "Joshua, why did we even leave what we had? We to take us this far and to let us die here, why should we even do this?" And Moses said, "The Lord will fight for you." And he goes on in 14:14, it says, "But you must remain calm." Must remain calm. In fact, God's answer to Moses at that time is, "Why are you even doubting? Why are you even crying out? Just keep walking." How many times have we heard that over these past several weeks? Just keep walking. I believe this proves the importance of giving God your full submission. Now, if Joshua is charging his leaders, How do we pull that into our lives? How do we submit? I can tell you that in two words. Let go. Let go. So how do you do that? How do you let go? Pardon me, I'm going to turn off and cough. Some words on the screen for you. How you let go. Many times in our life, we want to control our own lives. We want to step forward so that we shine and not Jesus. And the way Joshua is saying submit to authority is remember what God did for you. So let's pull this into our life. How do we submit to God? Well, number one, we surrender our life to Jesus Christ. And we have to understand where that comes from. Number one, we surrender our lives to Jesus Christ. When Jesus prayed for the alternative to the cross, and think about this. I want you to put yourself in the Garden of Gethsemane. Because we don't always think about this. But he said this, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup of wrath. But it's not my will. It's your will. And God sent an angel to comfort him. He wanted another way so badly that he began to sweat and cry blood, which is called hematohidrosis. He was so stressed in the moment. He said, I don't know if I can do this, but God, if it's your will, I will. Even in the pain, Jesus chose to follow God's plan, even when it was hard. All of us should be incredibly grateful for that. But while submission can be hard, the plans that God have for us, he has our best interest. Number two, live in obedience. And Jesus says this in John 14:15, if you love me, you will keep and you will obey my commands. How do we know? How do we show, express this submission? We live in obedience. We love Jesus and we follow Jesus not because we have to. We follow Jesus because we want to. That's how we submit to the authority. And number three, we seek to know God better. I think many of us will say, well, I've already know all this. Or are you praying? And while you are praying, are you focusing on the plan that Jesus has for you? Number three, are you reading your Bible? We must remain open to learn something new every day, every week. Don't ever feel like you are topped off. It reminds me when I was preparing this is when you pour a carbonated Coke or something in a glass and the froth begins to come over. Sometimes that's us. But when life settles down and that fizz begins to settle down, there's much more room in that cup, isn't there? It's when we settle down and we relax in our lives that Jesus begins to fill us with more and more. And it's that time in your life that you seek to remember a little bit more that day. How about asking questions? How about investigating? I think what it comes down to is we live in obedience or we seek to strive to know God better is to make time, don't just find time. We must make the time. Because what I've come to learn in my 49 years is that I will make time for what I want to do. I heard a phrase once, if you really want to do something, you'll find a way. And if you don't, you'll find an excuse. Isn't that so real? Isn't that so real? And then number four, choose to have a humble heart. That means foregoing our emotions. That means foregoing our want-tos. Humility shows that a person is to be shaped by God rather than our selfish ways. So that's how you begin to submit to authority. And back to verse four. Verse four, I've allotted you these nations that remain as an inheritance for your tribes. This is how God is preparing the next leadership before Joshua is gone. You see what we've done? This is what you've been left behind. In other words, I'm reminding you what God has done in your life. Therefore, continue to submit to him. It's a snapshot. It's a Polaroid. If we could all our famous last words give a Polaroid or a snapshot of what God has done in our life and hand that off, this is what Joshua is doing to his leaders. Why? Because God will always have the next move. Our second point in the next man up is this. It's to spurn all who undermine authority. Spurn, I had to put an S in there because my S's are alliteration today. But spurn means reject. We must reject all who undermine authority. Pay no attention to what's going on around you. Look at verse 6. Be steadfast and be determined to keep and do everything that is written in the book of the law. You know, many times we've seen the horses and the carriages. If you've been to downtown Charleston or you're in those places, I don't know where else they do that, maybe downtown Nashville, those horses have the blinders on. Even in horse racing, those horses wear the little cups. I wish we could wear those sometimes. You know what those are for? There's many reasons why those are on the horse, because it allows the horse to stay focused on what's ahead. It also allows a horse to race faster. It allows a horse not to be distracted by those things that could scare him, to be less stressful, and to walk straighter. God has given us his word. Joshua said, you have his law. What more is there to find? Don't just follow the word, but love God, not the world. I tell you, we carry these phones in our pocket. And I'll bet many of you have these phones either in your purse or in your pocket. This is unbelievable power just in our hands. And I'll tell you, when I changed from a flip phone, I wish I never would have. Any of you wish you never would flip from a switch flip phone? The world changed. The culture changed. But they're also meant to distract us. They're also meant to confuse us. And the culture has completely changed because of these phones. These phones have caused our vocabulary to even change. The language that we use in today's world goes off the text messages that we send. And we're supposed to understand this new language. Instead of texting, we even say LOL. We've changed our whole life to meet the needs of what the world wants us to do. As a culture, we can't even decide what pronoun to place on somebody today. And that rapid change of language can be confusing. There was a time when you could make a moral assumption on a gender. And you thought that everybody else knew exactly what you were talking about. But that's all been totally whacked out. And we're in a different place today. So what do I say all this? It relates to the next few chapters. Verse 8. Cling to the Lord. Verse 11. Be very careful. Be very watchful. And love the Lord. Don't just carefully walk in Scripture. Love the Lord while doing so. You see, love is a choice. You agree with that? Love is a choice. You have a choice, leaders, families, brothers and sisters. You have a choice on how you lead your family through this ever-changing culture. You have a choice on what you choose to have to be the most important thing in your life, so that when you are no longer here, you have shown your family exactly who they need to submit to. You see, you have a choice on who you submit to be the authority in your life. And Joshua is saying this: be steadfast, be determined to keep and do everything that is written. Not just the verses that you want to highlight in your Bible because they fit on your coffee cup, but everything in Scripture is to relate in your life. Finally, we're to separate from those from the world separate from those the world gives authority. We can't just reject. We can't just spurn. We must completely separate ourselves from the world. And in verse 13, Joshua tells his leaders, listen, y'all, if you don't separate yourself from this world, dads, fathers, brothers, if you don't separate yourself from the world, there's consequences. If you choose to just blend in with the world today, if you choose just to be that culture that says, you know what, my family's going to have their own choice today. If you choose to do that, dads, and this is a burden on my heart, there's going to be consequences. And then there will come a time in your life where you go, I just don't know what happened. And then you, as a parent, will say, I need help. Right here's your help. Joshua says it, verse 13. Three consequences of disobedience. And in essence, what he's saying is, do not become unequally yoked. What happens if you become unequally yoked? You will have defeat. You will be overcome. God will no longer drive out those nations. Number two, snares and traps, but they will be a snare and a trap to you. The deceiver, the great deceiver, and we know him by name, will put you in a snare and will trap you into thinking it's okay to blend in with society. And we use that word, I think I can change them. We cannot do both. And the third thing is you will live in disgrace. And this will happen to you until you die. Until you perish from this good land which the Lord has given you. You will live in humiliation. Doesn't that sound familiar in our world today? How we've just decided to blend in with culture. In other words, what Joshua is saying, look, don't lose ground. We have been through so much together. We have battled so hard for so long. We have spent 20 years together. Don't mess it up. That's what Joshua is saying. Don't mess it up. I'm so grateful that there's redemption in our lives in those times that we have messed it up. I'm so grateful that I have people in my life that would pray not to mess it up. But we will. But when we're brought back to Scripture, it says, this is where you need to be. Chuck, don't mess it up. This now becomes a personal battle. Because the thing that's not, it's not the difficult for us to take ourselves out of the world. We can step out. But it's to take the world out of ourselves because we've brought so much in. There's so much junk, so much chaos. But how do we separate ourselves from the world? How do we become what's called being sold out for Jesus? We live in such a way that's so attractive. We live in such a way that is so magnetic that your life communicates the content of the gospel. That you're known not just because you're against the morality and the moral relativism of this world and that you've rejected the idea of these crazy radical views, but you're most powerfully known because you're kind, because you're humble. That your life just draws people in, not only because you've rejected, but you have separated yourself from this culture of confusion. And you know what happens? If you're not like the world, people notice. People will notice. Wouldn't it be great if you're the person that would be hard to get mad at because you're so kind and you're so patient and so loving and willing, even when you yourself are going through that most difficult season in your life. There are people in my life that I've watched separate themselves from the world, and I just want to be their friend. Peter does a great job of this in 1 Peter. And we read that in chapter 3. Well, he's writing to people who are simply misunderstood. And that's the audience that Peter is writing to. He's writing to people who are simply just suffering. He says this in 1 Peter 3, 13 through 16. He says, "And who's there to harm you if you prove zealous for what is good?" He says, "But if you should suffer, and if you should suffer for the sake of righteousness," another, suffer for the sake of doing good, "you're blessed. And don't fear their intimidation. And don't be in dread. But sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts." Here's what we always read. "And always be ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, and do that with gentleness and respect. And keep a good conscience, so that in the thing in which you are slandered, those who disparage your good behavior in Christ will be put to shame." You see, it's not up to you to have to worry about that. Jesus has done that. Walking his life with Jesus, Peter, surrendering his life to Jesus, surrendering his family, surrendering the job that he grew up to do. For more than 3 years, Peter followed Jesus. He had the best possible example of what it looked like to separate himself from a hostile world and to live with Jesus. More than any other man who has ever walked the earth, Jesus is the model that we should live our lives after. So Peter just directs his readers to the best source. He directs his readers in the best direction. He says, "You want to know how to live? You live like Jesus." Peter called Christians to sanctify Christ as Lord in their hearts, meaning we should live and act as Jesus desires for the very short time that we are here on earth. And the most effective way to do that is to submit to his authority. This passage paints a wonderful picture. To give an answer for someone who asks you about the hope that is within you. Now think about what's being described. You are actively living your life. So those people who are watching you are saying, "What does this guy have? What does this lady have that I just can't understand how she can go through this? How are they so chill in this environment? I think I want to know more about what's going on." And then wrapping it up, what Joshua says here. "You know in all your hearts and all your souls that not one thing has failed that the Lord has spoken to you." Everything God had spoken, everything God had promised, all have come to pass. But in verse 15, here's the kicker. "Just as every good word has come about, so will every bad." And that's what Joshua is warning his leaders. Just as you submitted to the authority of God and received the reward of his promises over these last 20 years, if you choose to serve other gods, if you choose to live with the world of the world, you're going to perish pretty quickly. So I think that's the choice that remains today. That's what Joshua is sharing with his leaders. Look what God has done for us. You have it all placed in front of you. Take a look at your families. Literally, families together. Take a look at your families. Look what God has given you. And Joshua says, "Don't mess it up." These are Joshua's words to those who would lead. And we'll talk about family next week. Let me ask you this, church. Who are the leaders in your life that you look up to? Are you the one looked up upon? Or are you pleasing the world? You see, as we look at the life that we have, we look at the things that we've done, I think the best thing we can all say to one another, it's all because of Jesus. It's all because I've trusted. It's all because I've lived in obedience. And if we choose not to live in that obedience, this is the reality. You will perish. And you'll live your life for the reality of the world, for the culture that we're in. Have you taught your family to love only Jesus and to give their lives to Jesus? I'm going to do something that I've not done before. It's uncomfortable. Men, I want you to stand. And ladies and single moms, I have the utmost respect for you. But men, this is the life we've been given. Those last words to your family may be the actions that you have right now. Are you boldly standing up for the name of Jesus Christ so that your family is looking upon you saying, that's where I see Jesus? Men, if you're not, I would hope that today is a day that changes the aspect of how you're leading your family. Young men, our youth, I would hope that you've paid attention enough to know that it's about Jesus and nothing else. Men, I want to walk beside you. I want to be held accountable by you. I want each of you to hold me accountable. As Joshua gives his charge to these leaders, we're given full disclosure of what happens if we don't lead our lives and lead our family to Jesus Christ. Let me pray together for us. Lord, I thank you for the courage of these men standing up. Father, we've heard the words of Joshua. We've heard God, we've seen, we've read God speak through Joshua today to say, look what God has done. Look where God has brought you. I pray for them today, Lord, who are standing, who are leading their families. And I pray for those young ladies who are leading their families from home as a single parent, Lord. May they look upon you as their father. But these men who are standing are boldly proclaiming that they are leading their family in a close relationship with Jesus Christ. So I speak to the men today. If there is something that is distracting you, please bring to the cross today. Please bring those distractions. Please bring those confusion. Please bring those thoughts to the foot of the cross today so that when we leave here, it's Jesus that people see. And if there's those today here who don't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, allow them to commit their life to you. And if those here today who want to join this incredible fellowship that's been marked by our love of Jesus, allow them to come forward. Allow them to come forward to join this wonderful church. We love you. Pray this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen.